and we're hopeful we can iron these things out.
There's one issue that I've noticed in the context of measuring listeners is something that we complained of, I know, of the prior regime, especially in KPFK land, that they were shrinking the total listener base, yet increasing the subscriber base by focusing in on a narrower band of more affluent subscribers. And I've noticed, too, however, that recently, Eva Georgia, the general manager at KPFK, tomorrow will be giving the specific numbers, but we've increased by many, many thousands the numbers of subscribers in Los Angeles. It's hard to measure whether or not we've also increased the number of
it's
listeners.
It's true. Given the number of prison shows that Pacifica stations have, I don't think Arbitron is out there doing reporting
no,
on
we don't
how many
Arbitron
prisoners.
Demos, that's right.
That's not a small population anymore. There's in the United States. So
it's a growing population.
There's a lot of questions service. About Arbitron ratings.
Yeah, Ray.
Yeah, Dan. By the way, I want to congratulate you for staying the course, accepting this position when things look pretty dire, and helping us, yes, be where we are now. I'm very concerned about programming and an aspect of our activities that's connected to that. The goal of our programming is to reach to new communities. One of the ways to do so is to reach out to them directly. I believe about in Houston, maybe in California, you have told us that there were two stations, two listening areas, I believe KPFA and BAI, had funding for hiring coordinators, outreach coordinators. Am I correct?
Yeah, I don't have the specific budget items in front of me right now, but I believe there may have been some kind of funding for outreach coordinators in some of those stations, yes.
Well, we have an election looming, pretty close, and I'm very concerned that the outreach, I believe, should be connected to this, is not moving fast enough. Can you tell us if anything else is happening at the other stations and how close, for example, I know in BAI that I believe Valerie had taken the position that since she was on the way out, that major decision of who to hire and so on, that process should be started by somebody else, that whoever replaced her.
Yeah, we hear the concerns of the community that have been very loud and clear vis-a-vis an outreach coordinator, especially at a station like WBAI, which serves a tremendous serves the tri-state area and a huge number of people, not just the tri-state as well as Pennsylvania, yeah, as far as Pennsylvania. So you can see certainly in that station with broadcasting 50,000 watts from the Empire State Building to that closely, densely populated area, that we do need an outreach coordinator. So we hear those concerns, and I know we've had a number of discussions on that and are trying to get that up and running.
Okay.
Okay, there are a few people, if you don't mind, Dan, a few people here tonight, not on the board, other folks who also wanted to ask a few questions. So I had Rabia, Mary, and Miguel, and then Susan and Steve. Okay, if we can try and limit it.
This is Karavia Rafer, Washington, D.C. Local Advisory Board. Can you please clarify, because you mentioned Verna Avery Brown's name in terms of programming. Can you clarify? I know that there was a national programming position. Are you saying that is fait accompli? Is that, what were you saying?
You might be thinking of two traditional positions within the Pacifica programming, two management positions that have traditionally been at Pacifica. One is a national program director position, and that's a position that we will be trying to fill later on in the year.
Okay.
And then the other position is a Washington bureau chief, which Verna has accepted responsibility for.
Okay. The question that I have is, I think that Pacifica is in a very serious crossroads. There are some people on one side who think that we should be a news gathering organization and others who believe that we should be an activist organization. So the decision whether we're a news activist or news pacifist, we just report the news. And some of the things that you've said today indicates that there's more of a movement towards actually not just reporting the news, but actually having some say in terms of movement. I wanted you to address that a bit in terms of Pacifica being a news activist. And when I say news, I don't mean just news. I mean news, cultural, all of that, and versus passive versus active. And also the issue about outreach. I know that Washington, D.C., we've lost a lot of people. There's a serious need for outreach. And I would like to say right here that I think it's very important, while you talk about National Programming Council, that there needs to be a national outreach person. And that if we're talking about seriously, I can't believe that a network that says it's community-based does not have a national outreach coordinator as well as local outreach people on paid staff. And so when we're talking about, because for me, programming should be driven by the mission and by the process of fulfilling the mission, which has to come from outreach, from what people want, as opposed to somewhere up on high, the programming, which is inside of the station. So I wanted you to address the issue of activists versus passive news, not pacifists, but passive news, and the need for outreach, national outreach coordinator and local outreach people.
Right. Yeah, I've always felt that that was an artificial distinction, as we know, between, you know, an activist news and a quote-unquote passive news. The Wall Street Journal is an extremely activist newspaper on behalf of corporations in the United States, and we need to be just as active on behalf of people here in the United States struggling for peace and social justice. And that's what our mission is, and that's what we'll continue to do. We had this interesting discussion this morning trying to figure out, why is it that our two California stations and Texas, and to a certain degree what's happening in Washington and New York, but not as dramatically, why is it that these two California stations doubled their revenue in 9 months? What are the factors that occur? Well, yes, war, but there's war too in New York and Washington. There's war in Texas.
Yeah.
You know, we have to think, what is the lesson learned? And I think a couple of things have happened. We've seen National Public Radio move much more to the right, and if you'll hear from Jim Bennett in a couple days talking about how KPFA and Pacifica in California, people are turning to KPFA because it represents a real alternative, because we are deepening our commitment to the mission. We're not running away from it, and I think that is an important lesson for all of us to learn.
Are you saying then that in those two stations that doubled their revenue, that it has to do with more progressive programming?
Yes. In short, okay. I think it's about, I'm not so sure I would say that in a political or ideological sense, mm-hmm. but certainly in the sense of our mission, of deepening the mission, deepening the commitment to the mission, and having that reflected in the programming. And there's other factors too, like in California, there was much more press around the Pacifica settlements, and there's much more of a historic or organic relationship in California with Pacifica and the stations there, not just in Southern California or in KPFA in around the Bay Area, but you have KFCF in Fresno as well. So it has a much different relationship in California. But nevertheless, there's some real signs of success there that I think there may be some important lessons to learn from around the question of quote-unquote advocacy versus...
And I have to say that although there are people who believe that's an artificial designation, yeah. there are people who very seriously believe mm-hmm. that there is a difference. I know right. that there's no such thing as passive news, because anytime you put it out, it's going to be... Right. And there's no such thing as objective
right.
news
Right, and
either.
We're not saying that we're not talking about being didactic or
right.
you know, ideological. We're talking weights and measures, but... there's different kinds of weights and measures,
okay.
right?
So, can you address outreach?
Yeah, so in terms of outreach, yeah, I understand we understand a lot of the concerns of the community around outreach and around a whole range of different issues affecting the network. Race and nationality is another one. Training is another one. And I know that the board has discussed these issues, and we have tried to integrate those concerns into our budgets and into the network over the course of the next 6 to 9 to 12 months, and we will continue to do so. But at a certain point, and I'm not saying that an outreach person slot won't happen. I think it may have been put in the WPFW budget. I don't recall off the top of my head. But we have to make a choice between what we can realistically do as a network. We do have a huge wish list of what we want to achieve over the next 6 to 9 months. And I think we have to prioritize what it is exactly that we want to achieve. And obviously outreach in terms of bylaws, of lab elections that are going to be happening are going to be important. But at the same time, we also hear a lot of concerns about ensuring that we have, that we respond in terms of our programming to the crisis around the world. And so we have to figure out the best way to use our limited and unfortunately meager resources.
Let me just interject one thing here. This issue, though, about a national outreach coordinator, I hope you're listening, is complicated and speaks to, I think, or is one example of an issue that needs to be continually tackled and thought through. And that is the balance between what happens locally at each five of the stations and what happens nationally on a national level. What's the balance? What's the give and take? What's the relationship between those two? I, for one, actually think the immediate priority is the outreach grounded at each station, the local outreach. I don't think the immediate priority is the national outreach. In other words, the funding of a national outreach coordinator. Given our limited resources, I think it is much more politically wise for us to strengthen the outreach that would happen at each of the five stations, locally. And hopefully there's some interaction between outreach coordinators so that they're sharing their insights and their experiences and their problems and challenges. I think that needs to be put into place and played out and developed before I, for one, would be ready to argue that on the national level we should think about funding for a national coordinator. That's just my personal opinion. I'm not saying it's unimportant to raise that question, but it's not, it's also just one example of that national-local balance question.
For me,
there are several other people.
I'm sorry. For me, it's an issue of accountability. How do we, if we say that we're accountable to the community, it seems like that one of the ways that we would be accountable is to create a national office that really addresses what is actually happening in the streets. That is a major issue. And I have to say here that when we talk about training at WPFW, we have to give honor to WBIX Reem Khatuda, who has been extremely instrumental in creating this training program. We would not be here if she wasn't here. But I want to talk about that accountability issue because I think that's important.
Okay, but can I ask you that? Okay, thank Leslie, you. Just because there
Leslie,
are other people.
I have one question.
Okay.
Then, I should know that probably, but each station funds their own budget for that position, for the local position.
Yes.
So the reason the other areas don't have those positions funded is because the station haven't set up those priorities.
Yes. Yeah. Or may not have
the funds.
Or may not have the funds available. We have different stations are better off financially than some, so you may have some stations trying to get that into their budget fairly easily. Others may have some problems, but yeah.
But every station has X amount of money, or Y, or Z, or D or A, right? Every station has some chunk of money. Every station is making decisions about how to use that money, right? So, so the question about priority, it's not just it's a priority, but there isn't money, right? It's a question of how it matches against other priorities. So even, one could choose to do something, to not do something else. Right, to not fund something else and to fund an outreach coordinator. I mean, you can make those decisions, right?
Yeah.
Let's come back to that question, though, tomorrow when we look at the adjusted budgets and see what kinds of decisions they are making.
Okay,
I have Mary next. Mary and then Miguel and then Susan. We're sort of moving into the general comments from the group also. So.
Mary Berg, unpaid staff. Lab and Program Council member in Berkeley, also a member of the Coalition for a Democratic Pacifica, co-founded by Khalil Jacobs Fantauzi, who's here tonight. I think that one of the reasons that we did so well in KPFA is that since the time of the lockout, there has been a steady inclusion of all of the players. The listeners are not outside, and the inside people are inside. We have four people from the community on our program council. We have 14 elected community members on our board. We have six unpaid staff council members, unpaid staff on our program council, four of whom vote, two are alternates. We have paid and unpaid staff people on our local advisory board. This has the effect of inclusiveness, and so people are motivated. And so when the fundraising comes, you can listen to people in the middle of the night fundraising in a different way because they're included now, which is one of many, many reasons to be sure, as Leslie said, not to leave any players out. All the people have to be included. My question to you, you mentioned Fresno. I noticed that either on the agenda nor in your report was any mention of associate stations. That category hasn't been officially defined, but KPFA without KFCF, I don't believe that maybe any of the California stations would be where they are. And there's, I understand, a station in Houston which is considering this. I don't know that that's, I don't have a whole lot of information, but it strikes me that it, that relationship, as opposed to the affiliate, which is simply contract, we simply buy, they buy programming and carry it, and that's it. But for them to be, as it were, booster stations in a time when there are no more booster stations, the Christian right has brought everything up. In Sacramento, for example, many people can't hear our station. There's a tremendous problem, and there is no more booster station. It's a perennial subject of discussion in Sacramento all the time and has been for years. And there are lots of pockets and areas like this. So I wanted to know, I felt that was omitted, and I wanted to know, what do you feel about the status of developing and increasing relationships with, and possibly through the Internet, associate stations as opposed to the affiliate relationship? Thank you.
Well, my personal view is I think that has to be discussed and is being discussed, and it's on the table. I like the idea, and I think we ought to develop that. And as we discuss with other community radio stations who are also, you know, are part of the community radio movement and part of different organizations around the country, whether it's the Grassroots Radio Coalition or the National Federation of Community Broadcasters or others, that as we look at what kind of relationship we're going to have, I think that is one issue that's clearly on the table that the board, I know, has been entertaining as well, and maybe Teresa might bring it up tomorrow, who's been working on this whole question in part.
Okay, Miguel is next.
Hi, my name is Miguel Maldonado, a local advisor chairperson from WBAI. I just wanted to raise the question of my concern in terms of the national program director, since my understanding we don't have a program director right now since Utrecht Lee resigned. But I just wonder how that, I mean, in terms of the national programming, how that is been working out in Pacifica. I mean, is that basically most of your responsibility, or are you sharing that with somebody else? And also in terms of that, consulting with the civil liberty unions, I think when George were raising the question about that, I just wonder how those issues come to or the kind of or arrangement to be consulting with some groups in terms of how to taking some issues in terms of the national programs come about. And I just wonder if you can give me some idea about that.
Yeah, basically, as I was kind of alluding, you know, we've been trying to respond as best we can given the severe financial constraints of the national network in terms of programming. And it has been very much a very low-budget, catch-as-catch-can kind of operation. Over the last 9 to 10 months that has largely been the responsibility of Verna out of Washington and others, as well as in conjunction with the local stations, partnering with the local stations in developing programming. We had a number of days where we were covering national marches, April 20th, August 20th, reparations march, and, of course, the recent October 26th demonstrations in San Francisco and Washington and all over the country, which we covered. So we're prioritizing going live. That's certainly one thing we're doing. We're prioritizing having a daily national presence on Pacifica's airwaves, covering the growing peace movement and the drive towards war. And that's basically what is driving us. We don't have a new programming paradigm that we're following right now, and that's what we need to develop as a network going forward. In network-wide discussions that hopefully will be happening as the bylaws issues subsides or something is settled on the bylaws, then we can turn a lot of our attention, as Leslie's saying, to what kind of programming we're going to be having in the years ahead.
Dan, on that note, I mean, I remember the days when we broadcast as a network broadcast the impeachment hearings for Nixon. and our Bill of Rights have never been as in danger as they are during any of our lifetimes as they are right now.
Also, let me just, can I supplement what you're saying?
No,
when are we going to do the impeachment hearings of Bush?
And you're the executive director, and I want to know what you are doing to make sure that we, as a network, have some network-wide treatment on the threat to our Bill of Rights right now.
I can just tell you right now, today, this morning, we all of us and the general managers will affirm this discussion, but we had a detailed discussion on exactly how we're going to respond in a concrete, programmatic way, apart from the fact that I think most of our producers and staffers, paid and unpaid, and I think they'll talk with you about this throughout the weekend, are doing exactly that on a day-to-day basis, on an hourly basis, at all five of our Pacifica stations, responding to the threat of the throwing away of the Bill of Rights in the garbage can that the Bush administration and the Ashcroft Justice Department is organizing presently. They are doing that 24/7, 365. We're looking at other initiatives like getting a beat reporter to cover the Homeland Security Agency and the development. That's something we're really looking at right now.
What is Vernon doing right now? What do you mean?
Uh-huh.
Apparently that Van Isler is going to go to work mm-hmm. as your assistant or administrator, do administrative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what is Vernon going to be doing? Was she doing programming stuff?
Yes, she has her hands full doing Peace Watch right now, making sure that Peace Watch, and I think she'll tell you, really tries to cover on an aggressive day-to-day basis.
What is she doing with the ACLU and our Bill of Rights?
I think she's talked to, well, we could ask her later on, but I know that she's talked to them regularly, that she's talked to other civil rights organizations around the country. But we are also treating, we also want to deal with the civil rights issue and its civil liberties issues in its totality. And I can tell you, George, we're all very concerned about it, and we're going to respond as quickly as possible in an effective way for the entire organization. We hear that it's a priority. We feel that it's a priority. We know in our heart of hearts it's a major issue that everybody is concerned about. Many people around the country are looking for Pacifica to take a leading role on this issue, and we're going to do as best a job, given our tight financial circumstances, as possible to respond.
Can I just interject one thing here, though? Maybe I misunderstood what you said, Dan, but I thought I heard you say that the programmers around the country are looking at these issues every day and trying to figure out, you know, how to bring these issues, you know, out on the airwaves. I don't think, for me, George, the question is not just what is Dan doing, but what are the people at each of the five stations doing? Because this programmers may be looking into these questions, but I certainly don't hear it every day. Our programming, I think, and I don't want to, because I don't listen 24 hours a day to all five stations, but my sense of the programming is that we have not yet risen to the occasion, right? And I'm not saying that we drop all the cultural programming, that we drop all the, you know, any programming not related to the immediate crisis. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is that we haven't figured out a way, either in a coordinated way on the national level or at each of the five stations, to work with the people, both paid staff and non-paid programmers, to do, for lack of a better way to say it, political education with the people who are on the air every day about the moment that we live in, so that when they think about doing whatever kind of show they do, how does it relate to some aspect of the crisis, be it the foreign policy or the domestic, you know, way it plays out. But I think that we can't just assume that programmers are doing that work. We need to put structures into place to work with that team of people, and help us all develop you know, new, creative, interesting ideas for that programming. And that's not really just the job of one person in the executive director position. Obviously, we hope, and I believe our executive director is giving leadership to that effort, but it's got to be a system-wide effort for it to really take hold.
I understand that. And you know, Dan, I mean, you've done a wonderful job. I would not want your job. And I'm serious. I mean, you've done a wonderful, wonderful job. And please don't misunderstand my strength of questioning or the way I'm looking at you is saying anything but that. But I, you know, that's why I predicated that with what Verna doing, because my thought was that she's, you know, she's doing more programming material, and you've got your hands full keeping this network together with so many different pieces of tape and string. And I just,
well, I can assure you, George, your sense of urgency is shared by.
Well, listen to what your chairperson just said. Mm-hmm. She doesn't hear on the air, nor do I.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, okay. I mean, you've got two people on the board telling you we don't hear it.
Can we hear from Carol and then Jabari, and then we'll get back to the other people whose names I have, Carol and Jabari.
Well, I think in some ways this relates back to my earlier question about public affairs programming generally, and restoring what was lost since 1995. I think somewhere between 400 and 600 volunteer programmers lost their shows, their programs at KPFA and KPFK in 1995, all told. Those were volunteers who were very political people doing a lot of at the time, state-of-the-moment programming. They were people who were really focused on what's going on in our communities politically and around the world politically. They've not been replaced. And when we listen to our air at KPFA, we don't hear the gripping, edgy, up-to-the-moment, stir-em-up kinds of public affairs programming that we did before. And I hear a lot about it as a member of the lab there. I don't think that that's a matter of resources as far as dollars go. I think it is a matter of putting our thinking caps on, opening our doors again, figuring out how we can bring new voices to the air, always recalling that when we put something new on, we have to take something old off or something else off or rearrange it. But I know that Dwayne at KPFT has gotten 30 new shows on this year. That's quite a remarkable feat. And I hear a lot about it. And they've got, somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 new subscribers as a result of having done that. And I'm reading here now an article in Black Washington that was published yesterday. It says, "What's going on at WPFW-FM, a loyal listener to the Pacifica Foundation's non-commercial radio station in Washington, D.C., asked me. A few days ago, when morning jazz and all the normal programming was preempted yet again for another all-day national fundraising drive, are they trying to appeal to another audience?" The listener continued. "The stuff they're playing today is antiquated," commenting about the National Archives Day. "I actually turned to the smooth jazz station and listened to Kenny G," another listener volunteered. "Clearly, I get the impression that they're trying to replace the African-American character of PFW that had developed into the only remaining radio station that reflected the true character of Washington, D.C. So clearly, you know, there are some major issues about how we're going to address our music and our public affairs programming here in Washington, but also throughout the whole network, so that we're um, delivering for the citizens of Washington, D.C., the information they need about their civil rights, their civil liberties, their freedoms, on their local radio station. I don't think it takes Verna to solve that problem.
Right.
That's a national thing. It has to do with what is the station manager's focus? What is the program director's focus? How are they bringing new? And are you talking about that?
Right, but I think one of the things I've been trying to say is that I don't think that we have really figured out at Pacifica today and going forward in the future what programming paradigm we want to follow in the months and years ahead as part of a new Pacifica with new economic and social realities. How does the Pacifica mission fit into building a Pacifica for the new millennium? And that discussion, I think, we need to have before we move forward. It's a very, as you know, do we want, you know, what is our relationship with free speech radio news? What is the relationship with Democracy Now? These are critical questions, I think, that we have to answer as a network before we take the kind of, and make the kind of commitment, financial and otherwise, into the programming area. So what I'm arguing for is to have a structured debate and discussion and then come with a plan, you know, with a paradigm around programming for all the stations. And right now, obviously, this past 9, 10, 11 months, you know, we've been dealing with other issues, obviously, which we've had to. And now I think we need to focus our attentions and energies on this question in the months and years ahead. Notwithstanding that fact, we do have to respond on a short-term basis to what is happening in the world. So in a sense, we've been caught, you know, this crisis of Pacifica, as we all saw on 9-1-1, you know, it was a really terrible time for us because we weren't prepared, as we should have been, for these struggles that face us today. But we are going to prepare ourselves for the struggles that are going to come next year and the year after and the year after that. And that's why I think when we build, we have to be building really for the future and try to respond as best we can, given our limited resources, to the immediate programming needs that arise on a day-to-day or weekly or monthly level. And that's kind of what we're doing right now. But I also think that we do have to have that vision, that paradigm, that model about how we're going to move ahead before we do so.
I want to dispute that. I think Duane didn't have somebody telling him that it was necessary. He just went ahead and did it and did, I think, a pretty spectacular job. We've seen us spend at least 9 months in debate about the bylaws, which is certainly not a serious national political issue that could affect our children and grandchildren forever. We could spend 10 years talking about the programming paradigm. In fact, I think we've spent 53 years at Pacifica talking about the programming paradigm. But we all can read the mission statement in our articles of incorporation and say, okay, let's look at our, you know, how are we going to, a station manager or a program director can look at that and say, okay, how am I going to interpret that today based on the needs of this time and begin making changes that people can see and respond to without this discussion, which should happen, being a prerequisite to doing that.
Yeah, right. I think you're correct on a short-term basis short to medium-term basis. Duane, I think, has clearly articulated some of his programming priorities to the station there, and that's reflected in some of the station changes that have happened. I've articulated some programming priorities for around the network, such as local news, et cetera. I think you're seeing changes based upon that. But overall, as we were discussing today with the general managers, you know, we want to reinforce our identity, the identity of Pacifica. What is Pacifica? Why do you turn on to a Pacific station? What is WBAI about? What is PFW about? Have that identity threading through every single one of our programs as we move forward in a programming day. What is the purpose? I always use the example, whether it is you go for Mongolian sheep music, and if we think that's the best way to fulfill our mission, then we're going to make that effort. But I think you're seeing that happening obviously on a local level and a general level where GMs and PDs are articulating short-term programming goals and programming visions that they want to meet. But I think as a longer-term project, we need to figure out more some of the bigger issues about how we're going to move ahead in programming. Obviously, I've been emphasizing, you know, local news, national news. I come from a journalistic background. That's what where I'd like to see the network moving ahead. But either way, I think that there is a commitment to, you know, fulfilling the Pacifica mission in a lot of different ways. But how they all relate to each other going forward is a key issue.
Okay, Jabari was next, and then we'll go back to the stack here. I have about a dozen people whose hands I've seen. I got you all. Let me just say, though, I'd like to wrap up this discussion tonight by about 9:30, mostly because it's freezing in here, but also because we do have to be out of the room at a certain hour. So, if people could keep their comments short, that would help us make sure that we'll get everybody. I got everybody on the list here. I got you. Okay, Jabari was next.
This is Jabari Zakia. I have concerns about management and management style vis-a-vis programming. Back in February, probably January, but certainly in February, I had put out a paper and a call for a mission fulfillment rating of the different stations. And I think earlier someone talked about not really having a national discussion. But there's one simple thing that you need to do before you can really do a discussion. You need accurate data. You need to know where you are and what you're doing so you can begin a discussion from a basis of accurate facts. One of the things I had called for was a simple audit of all of our programming. Every station has a program, right, that you can just look at. KPFA, Max Blanchett, I hope I didn't destroy his name too well. He put out an audit of KPFA back in July or August. And out of that audit, out of 168 hours a week, even in KPFA, 91 hours of that 168 hours was just music programming. So it takes absolutely nothing to do an audit of our airwaves, because supposedly those programs exist. I had called for that. So my one particular question is, when can we get a national audit of every station in this network so we know exactly, at least for that week, what is going out on the airwaves under the name of Pacifica? At least we can get that so we can see what is actually going out on the airwave that the Pacifica Foundation owns. That's the first question.
Let me just remind you, though, I think my memory is correct in this. We had asked the local advisory boards to make sure that happened at each station.
But the data comes from the stations, and the stations already have the data. And it should be nothing, because all of the stations have their programs on the web. I don't see why that needs to go to the local station boards. It just comes from the stations as a management.
Right, but what I'm saying is to remind us about what we did ask. We asked each of the local advisory boards. So all I'm saying is
I understand what you're saying. I'm not asking local advisory boards to produce that information.
Right.
I want that from our management structure that produces the programming. Okay. That's something they produce. They should record it, and they should make it public what's going out on the airs. And I want to know what it is. So we don't have to talk in innuendo. We can say, well, here's the actual numbers of what's going out on the airs. Okay, two, and I don't think that should take anything more than 3 hours for a station to say, here goes our program. And if they got to break it down categorically, music, public affairs, I would love to see a breakdown of demographics of programmers, how many women, men, so forth and so on, like it was done at KPFA. Right. I don't think that should be a big problem and should be done in a week. Second, the board in June issued a directive that there would be 2 hours of bylaws programming every week. Out of 168 hours a week, we said we want 2 hours of bylaws or program governance. That hasn't occurred since June when that directive gone down. Why hasn't it occurred, and when will it finally occur at every station that for a week we get those 2 hours of programming that deals specifically with bylaws and governance?
The answer to the first question, Jabari, I will make sure that we get a report to the board by the next board meeting, a programming audit of every station. So we'll get that to you by the next board meeting. On the second question, it was my understanding that the two-hour programming bylaws programming issue was only from the Berkeley meeting.
No,
it was not.
No, I actually went and looked at the notes on that. It was open-ended. It was open-ended. There was no closure date on that.
Well, then I take responsibility for that because it was my understanding that was only to run up to September, and I hadn't been enforcing that policy.
Well, if I can just say that at our last meeting, we voted to continue it just in case it was unclear.
Right.
Good. Well, I will make sure that it's carried out.
Let me just also, again, I know everyone is strapped here, but, and I said before in my opening comments, I know everybody is on overload, but I really agree with Jabari that getting an overview, a rundown of an audit, if you will, of what the program is, it shouldn't take, I mean, I don't know when we're going to meet again. I think if we could ask for it by the first of the year, it shouldn't take several months, and it may be another 2 or 3 months before this board meets again. So I would like us to ask directly now to the station, ask the station managers to do that, that the job of the national office should just be to gather that. You shouldn't have to do the audit at each station. Each station should do its own audit.
Right.
And the station managers, I believe, are all in the room right now. Maybe one is missing, but you know, we should make sure each station manager is asked to do that.
May I suggest that we use the template for the KPFA audit? It gives us what kind of programming is, whether it's ecological, whether it's news, whether it's public affairs, whether it's music, or whether it's mixed. It also gives us the racial diversity breakdown, the male, female, gender data for all the programs on KPFA.
Yeah,
and you know, I just want to reiterate, this is vitally important information. We need to have accurate information so we can dispel or even highlight and observe the disparities that we have in terms of male, female, whatever. But we need to start with accurate information first. That will help dispel rumors and innuendos, but it would also have everybody on the same page when we start talking, you know, about the future development of programming and programmers.
Can I just suggest that it might be good, Jabari, maybe you would work on this, but Max actually already did a lot of work in providing a template, but that we give to each of the station managers specific information that we want back, so that we get even information from all five stations. In other words, the breakdown of news, public affairs, arts and cultural programming, the breakdown in terms of racial composition, gender composition of on-air programming, the breakdown of what happens during drive time and what happens at, you know, off-peak hours, you know, whatever the questions are, whatever the information is. So none of the stations can say, well, we didn't know you wanted that information. So maybe working with Max, we can just put the 5 or 6 or 10, whatever it is, items that we want down on paper and make sure they all have them. Okay, let me just, Teresa, do you have your hand up?
Yeah, I would like to say something. I guess we're waxing eloquent. I would like to say, in addition, you're right, the first step is get accurate information. I would like to comment on Monday nights, we have a Gay and Lesbian Voices on our station, and we have one person, J.D. Doyle, that started collecting music in this area. And it's a program that I really looked forward to. It really gave layers and depth to that show. It was not a public affairs versus music issue. The music that fit the program was incorporated into it, and really it gave it a depth that I think was, you know, made it exponentially more beautiful program that I really looked forward to. So I'm thinking that once we do this, that our programming will be exponentially better.
Okay, I have 13 people of you all who've raised your hands. I think I got everyone whose hands has gone up. If I didn't know your name, I marked down what color shirt you were wearing or something. So, you know, so I have everybody. What I'd like to do is maybe take a number of comments or questions instead of just responding to each one. Let's hear from a whole bunch of people before we get responses from Dan or other people. That's okay. So I have Steve Conley next, and then Sam Husseini. I'm sorry. I forgot. Susan was next. Susan was next, then Steve, then Sam. Susan. Either one. Either if you have a question for Dan or a general comment, let's just put it all in the mix here. But let's not, if you have a comment, Dan, maybe you could just make some notes on what the questions are so we don't have to answer. Again, it's 9:15, and if we're going to really wrap this up by 9:30, then people have got to be short and we got to, you know, use our time wisely. I got you down.
Okay, I'm Susan DeSilva, chair of the KPFA lab, and the comments that have been made here prompted me to make three quick comments. First of all, Leslie, you may not remember this, but the KPFA lab voted at one time that we really want to see the Democracy Now! Contract before it's final. And I think it'll help the process have some transparency if you know, we know we can't see every step along the way, but maybe before it's final, it should be made public.
We'll ask the lawyer about it.
Okay. In response to your plea that this board decide things on the bylaws and then move on, I just want to say that we have really listened with our hearts and our heads to each other on the manner of elections. We have gone over it and over it and over it. And it just may be that we're not going to agree or come to a compromise that people are happy with. So I really urge this board to take a stand and say, we know everyone's not happy, but this is what we're going to go with and move on. Because at some point, it's just picking. So that's how I feel about that. And I want to say about the programming, I do see KPFA making steps towards coming back with edgy shows, and I know Carol has some frustration on that, and Carol's actually serving on the program council now. But it is happening, and a program council can be an unwieldy thing, especially when you have all different constituencies on it. And I completely applaud what's happening in Houston as far as all these new shows. But I hope that eventually there it will also be more of a democratic process, which is messier and more cumbersome, but it's important to move in that direction. And that's all.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Steve. Now Steve and then Sam.
Hi, Steve Conley from KPFA. First, I have a couple of questions, just two. And I wanted a clarification. When you talked about, by the way, some of the ideas you have are very, very exciting. Program conferences and national programming, training components, so forth and so on. Very exciting. And question is what are we going to do about budgeting those kinds of issues? And I'm sure that's the main thing. And the problem I have with that is often things become prioritized. And when they become prioritized, often we go with what is more important, and usually that's some kind of national focus, and so these things drop off in terms of that. And I don't think that should happen at all. But I wanted to ask you about what you said about the training program concept based on the KPFA model or some kind of combination model. Now, do you see that as a national training program, or do you see that as an individual local station type of program? I wasn't very clear about what you meant by that.
Local station.
Okay, so it would not necessarily be a consistent training program throughout the network.
It may, you know, we haven't put it, we're working on it to put it on paper, but it'll probably have some local characteristics. It'll have standard curriculum.
That will be its main component, but probably it may be adapted to local particularities or local needs. But so more or less, it'll be a fairly standard a program.
So will that require like a national training coordinator of some sort?
We haven't anticipated that at this point. No, we don't think so.
Okay, so it wouldn't be necessary to be consistent throughout the network on that issue?
Not at the national level, but at the local station levels, probably you would have it looking, the program looking very much like each other. Like typically there would be a training director, and I know Jim, who's here, could probably answer some more specific questions about how the First Voices Apprenticeship Program works at KPFA. But roughly it's had 20 years of experience there. They have a training director to running the program and several classes going at once. And we would roughly model what would happen at other stations around that. If the stations, you know, feel that that's that type of model is appropriate for them, but they may want to make whatever adjustments to fit local needs.
Okay. Well, just one point: there is a history in Pacifica about not having consistent training programs, and if you don't have them, then they tend to fall off and they tend to become inconsistent, and consequently, you don't continue to grow the kinds of quality reporters that we really need to fight this new war that we want to in terms of expanding programming. The other issue has to do with outreach, and I agree with everything everybody said about the outreach issue, and I disagree with not focusing on that as a major process in terms of realizing that we're speaking to people generally in our community who agree with us when it comes to issues about the war, when it comes to issues about how we feel about, you know, America's approach to dealing with Iraq or the Middle East or what have you. What we're not speaking to enough is the communities that we need to bring in and the diversity of those communities, the Asian communities. We hear it all the time about the various communities that we don't represent. And outreach is a very important component of that, particularly if it's going to be consistent. When you say that one station has possibly maybe an outreach budget coordinator, that worries me if that's not consistent throughout the network, and that worries me if we don't have a consistent plan about dealing with that outreach. I disagree with not considering that the most important part of that community, because if we're not representing and bringing in those particular communities, what does that say about our mission? And I think we have to take that as seriously as we do the war and those types of issues. So I would say that, as long as what you've heard today, that I think that's a very important future, consistent future for us to move in that direction in terms of expanding that kind. And the only way to do that is to increase very directly our outreach and to consider that important. And that sounds like a national coordinator to me, to be consistent with that throughout all the networks.
Can we get the folks here, please? And then very short, George, make his comment.
Question on that note. It's a question for you, and Susan, and also Carol. Like in Berkeley, y'all have a huge Asian population. How many Asian folks do you have on your lab?
Folks, I would like to not get into that kind of conversation now because there are, like I said, about 13 people on this list that want to make their concerns heard to this board. So as we move through the weekend, we're, you know, cognizant of their ideas, concerns, questions, input. So
he
asked a question, I'll answer. We do not have any Asian member on our board. We have about 13% of our programmers are Asian.
I mean, what percentage, okay, what percentage of your...
Sam, can we...
No, this...
George,
I'm sorry. I
do want to ask your cooperation, George, just as we've asked the folks who come to the meetings to cooperate with us to let us do the business of the board. The agenda item that we're on now is the general community comment. So I'd like to respect that and you know, let people be heard. I will try. There's a few people who have passed me notes and raised their hands in the last 5 minutes. We'll try, but at 9:30, we're wrapping this up, and it's 5 to 9. I want to really ask the people coming up now to not make speeches. Right now. I'm not criticizing anybody, but you know, to just really get to the question or the comment as quickly as you can. Sam?
I'll try to get to a couple of very quick questions if I could have quick answers. Dan, you mentioned the possibility of young men and women from the United States dying as a result of war. I didn't hear. I'm sure that we all are in agreement that Iraqi lives are just as important as U.S. lives that could be construed is racist, if not stated in this day and time. Absolutely. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. If I didn't say that, I absolutely would concur, you know, obviously.
As somebody who works in the news business as well, I come to the firm conclusion that the quickest way, most effective way that Pacifica could, if it was frankly serious about addressing the war situation, would be to actually have somebody doing journalism in terms of going to news conferences at the Pentagon, the State Department, the White House, the Justice Department, and so on. What plans are there for that? We now have a Washington News Bureau chief, if I've gotten the title right. Do we have a Washington News Bureau?
No, we don't.
What plans are... You stressed the financial constraints that we have, and Leslie stressed the internal energy that's been dissipated. Frankly, not to sound too harsh, I think that a lot of those things happen because of a lack of leadership. And I think that if this board and its higher management shows some leadership in terms of getting something done, people will be tripping over themselves to give us money. Mm-hmm. If we have somebody who is sharp, holding accountable those in power who are waging permanent war. Mm-hmm. That is what this is. The name of this network is Pacifica. It was prophetic in its creation, and it is not living up to that. And I think it can be done quite simply. We have a lot of people doing a lot of things, except I think one of the few things that can tangibly change things. How do we make that happen? What plans can there be for that happening as quickly as possible?
Well, I'm sympathetic to the argument, Sam, but we have said for the last 11 months that the number one and number two priority of this organization at this point in its history, one is restoring financial stability, and two is dealing with the bylaws issues and meeting the obligations of the December legal settlement. So within that context, and I understand the frustrations that I'm hearing today from yourself and other board members about the urgent need for this network to meet its mission and provide the kind of programming and information that is going to be critical to an understanding of what is happening with the chronic war that is arcing, you know, from Colombia through North Africa, through the Middle East, south to Afghanistan. But I can't tell you, Sam, that I'm going to come out with and get a reporter tomorrow who's going to be down at the Justice Department. We have serious financial constraints. The general managers and the program directors talked about that as an option today. We'll try to look at that as quickly as possible and get somebody out there. But we do have serious financial problems that we have to resolve in this network. We can't have everything that we want. Just in the last 5 minutes, we've heard, you know, great arguments, passionate arguments for important positions, outreach, for a reporter,
training.
You know, these are all key and very important things, but we can't do all of them, unfortunately. So we have to make tough choices.
Okay. Sorry, I don't remember your name. Yeah. Yes. And then after him is Donna Gould and then Susan Lee. I have your, again, I don't know your name, but I have you down as the guy with glasses. You're on there.
Okay. I'm Tom Gomez. And I'm part of WBIX, Reams Volunteer Project at the State.
Can you step up to the mic?
And
thanks.
As I was listening to this, I couldn't help thinking that we're talking about the war, we're talking about budgetary constraints preventing us from getting people to cover events. We have people at WBIX like Chris Strom, who used to cover the Pentagon for a defense publication. He'd be willing to do it on a volunteer basis.
Great.
We have credible people in this community. 250,000 people traveled here at their own expense to protest the war on October 26. Many community activists would love to find an easier way to get their voices heard than chaining themselves to fences, laying down in front of police cars, and being beaten in the streets. I'm one such activist. As I came into the station, Reem suggested that, and I come to the station, and I realize, you know, I was part of the campaign last year. I was in the street with Dennis Moynihan, Reem, and the good guys won, and I went on to focus on housing, which is kind of one of my core issues. I'm mainly a poverty activist. And I come this year, we still don't have morning news. At 6:30 in the morning, I got up this morning. I turned on the station. Right next to us on the dial is an extremely right-wing station. They're saying that Iraq's in material breach, so the U.S. needs to march in immediately. I turned to NPR. NPR is saying that the general strike against Chavez's government, the government that the U.S. tried to overthrow a few months ago, is succeeding and that Chavez will be forced from power. I know it's a lie. The Post even says the general strike is failing. Nobody's presenting the other side. I turned to WPFW, and we're having morning jazz for those who just don't want to hear about the news. And this is Pacifica. I go to the station. I volunteer. I've been there for 3 weeks. Lou Hankins may be gone. Bessie Wash may be gone. But people who support them are still there. They call me to the side. They say the whole Pacifica campaign was waged over money, that the members of the board are seeking to get $50,000 each for coming to 7 board meetings, that Amy Goodman won a $600,000 contract, and that's why she put her support behind it. I mean, these are people who work there. You're paying them a salary. Meanwhile, you're not paying a salary to a White House correspondent. That's all I got to say.
Okay, thank you. Donna. You have Donna, then Susan Lee, and then Marion. I call your names in advance so you can step up, you know.
I'm Donna Gould from the WBI Bylaws Committee. I'm sorry to do this.